we present the news quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the League Weekly, read by Susan Ray.
Methley Royals Rugby League Club has launched its second naked calendar after its huge success in 2011. The calendar features head coach Paul Handforth and prominent members of the squad.
And our thanks to Matthew Moorcroft for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Francesca Martinez. Opposite them on my left, Susan Kalman and Fred McCauley. Jeremy, who has spent the week breaking promises and renewing vows?
Well, it's the midterm review, which I had a horrible thought was going to be a little sort of show that they did in the Rose Garden with some humorous sketches and songs around the piano. But it wasn't. What they decided to do was talk about all the things that they'd done and not so much the things that they hadn't done. And this was a thing that Blair started, and he had this catchphrase, a lot done, a lot left to do. And he kept apologising for the things that he hadn't done, and we kept thinking, no, just it's the things that you're doing, Tony. Similarly with the coalition, it's not so much the things they haven't done. I mean, we're quite glad that they failed to raise unemployment to the level you normally expect under a Conservative government. But they had this sort of half-assed, disingenuous review, not really mentioning much about all the bad stuff they were doing. And then someone was photographed going into Downing Street with things written on a bit of paper saying, don't tell the public anything, they'll hate us because we're scum. And this was a tradition started by Caroline Flint, but she was attacked because she had a see-through folder with words inside, and people focused on the fact that it was see-through, therefore skimpy, therefore she was a slut. So they've had to admit that they hate the poor and they hate the disabled. And they kind of really only like Edwardian gentlemen.
Yeah, it's a scary time. Like, a lot of people think that disabled people don't have sex, but this is not true because the government are screwing us hard.
The audit bit at the end of the thing called an annex. That's a worrying word in a political document. It's usually followed by the Sudetenland.
It's always just slightly nerve-wracking, though, when the two of them get together to do these little speeches that they occasionally do. And the two of them stand. It's kind of like a double act that's entered Britain's Got Talent, but neither of them's worked out which one's the straight man. Because Nick tried a joke. I don't know if you watched the press conference, but Dave said, oh, it's like Rod Steele. Whoa, look at us, we're amazing. And then Nick thought, I'm going to do a joke here. And he did a joke. And the press, you can see the press just going, no. And he even said, well, I thought that was funny. And you think, no, if there's one thing comedians know is if you tell a joke and it doesn't work, don't go, well, that's your fault for not understanding.
I had a look at the tin of Ron Seal that I've got in my garage, and it does do exactly what it says in the tin. If you swallow any of this crap, you're likely to feel nauseous.
Having a phone-in show now, Nick.
Yes, and it's hilarious.
Because I haven't listened to the radio show, but the only thing I've gathered is that Clegg has announced that he's got a green onesie. I want him to wear that to work. I think that you'd feel better, wouldn't you, if you saw him?
I think you should see a doctor if you've done a green onesie.
After the government published their midterm review, Patrick Rock, one of David Cameron's advisers, was photographed with a document referring to an audit listing all the pledges they have failed to keep, which they then also had to publish. Speaking of the coalition, David Cameron said, to me it's not a marriage, it's a Ron Seal deal, it does what it says on the tin, proving that not only are his policies 20 years out of date, so are his topical references. Although, of course, in the subject of continuing the coalition, David Cameron and Nick Clegg say they are committed. Although, I think chance would be a fine thing. 2 points to Jeremy. Francesca, whose welfare doesn't fit the bill?
Well, this is the government's very kind decision to cut benefits at 1%. Thank you. I think the welfare bill should be called the farewell bill. Bye-bye benefits. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a fan of the Tories, but I do have to say they've been incredibly generous with sharing the deficit, haven't they? I mean, they've decided to share the deficit with everybody. How thoughtful is that? So, yeah, very, very scary times. And basically, if you're disabled, you're circus scum.
Well, it's a very odd, it's the Strivers versus Skivers, isn't it?
It is, which is great for someone with a speech impediment. That's why it didn't feature in my bit. And by the way, don't you think speech impediment is a really bloody hard thing to say as well? Don't you think it should be a bit easier? Like, I have a la-la.
The trouble is, that sounds like a lady's front bottom expression. Yeah.
Even better.
Any of those kind of two-syllable sort of expressions.
Wasn't it one of the Teletubbies called Lala?
Yeah. Which was confusing during sex in my house, but...
Tell me Lala took the costume off.
I bet there was no Tinky Winky, though.
Anyway, welfare benefits.
Basically, the government have got this thing about saying that there's a culture of entitlement among people who are entitled to social security. And you think, well, yeah, that's because they're entitled to it.
It's quite rich to criticise the handout culture when Cameron and his wife are set to inherit over 20 million between them. If I was them, I would say the handout culture is bloody great.
But they're inheriting it through their own hard work.
Mm. I've said it before, I find the House of Commons reprehensible. And as they were debating it, it was like, if you imagine the Muppet Show in Hell, that's what it was. They were laughing. You know, David Miliband was trying to do a speech about it, and whatever you think of it, he was at least trying to make some form of point, and the Conservatives were simply, they were just sneering. And people say that people are disengaged from politics just now. One of the problems is when you watch the behaviour, it looks like they're drunk. If you go down a street in, I'm not going to say Glasgow, let's say Edinburgh, there's more English people there. You go down a street in Edinburgh and you see people shouting at each other across the street with kebabs in their hands. That's essentially the House of Commons at this precise moment in time.
How many times this week did we hear the expression, you know, about hard-working people that get up early and go off and work hard all week? It's just like, I mean, I had a proper job, don't know about anybody else, but, I mean, don't think anybody got up early and worked hard all week.
I shouldn't say this, but I get up at midday every day. I'm really sorry. And ATOS are probably going to be on my back after hearing this. And I always thought it was because of my cerebral palsy. So recently I went to the doctor and I said to him, do I sleep because of my CP? And he said, no, you're just a lazy cow. The line between CP and lazy is very... very blurry.
Is there a chance then, Chess, that you're just clumsy with poor diction?
There is. I think I'm clumsy with poor diction. That's hard to say too.
The government won a vote in Parliament on plans to limit annual increases in working age benefits to 1% for the next 3 years. Families will still be able to receive child benefit, but those with one partner earning more than £50,000 will be expected to repay some of the money through taxes or face having their child privatised. 2 points to Francesca. Susan, who's been trying to raise the city because they can't raise the flag?
Oh, good. As I was looking at the news this week, I thought, you know what question I really hope I get? It's the one about the flags in Belfast, because everyone's reacted so calmly to that situation.
Letters can be sent to Susan Calman, care of...
So I'll just recount the facts in a completely unemotional... No. So whammed was the council in Belfast voted not to have the union flag flying all the time in Belfast over the town hall, but only to fly it on special occasions. I'm aware of the fact I'm making this sound like a children's story. Some people in Belfast weren't very happy about that situation and took to the streets and shouted and threw things quite a lot. Then a special day arrived when a princess...
You're right. It is like having it explained by Lala.
Yeah.
And by that I mean you sound like you're talking out of your front bottom.
So it was Kate Middleton's birthday and they put the flag up. And apparently they're only going to put the flag up now on special occasions. And I looked at what the special occasions were. And it tends to be the birthdays of people from the royal family, so the Princess Royal. And I know nothing is going to help the situation more than celebrating royal birthdays in Belfast.
Clearly, the people, you know, the loyalist community, their leaders have for decades told them to focus on this and don't think about the fact that you live in poor housing and you have rubbish, boring jobs. Just hate Catholics. One of them came on the news, one of these loyalist protesters, and he said, "This is Great Britain." And I thought, well, you see, there's the problem, because actually it's not. It's Northern Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom. I'm a boring. United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, which is another place. Northern Ireland. There's a key in the name, actually. Northern Ireland, unsurprisingly, is not actually in Britain. It's actually in Ireland, in the northern bit, you know. Like, albeit parts of the south are actually to the north of the north, but that complicates the issue. And I don't want to be snobbish or disdainful about people, but if you're going to be patriotic, know what your country is called. And if you're going to be obsessed with lines on a map, have a look at a map.
At the moment, because the Falklands are back in the news, Belfast is back in the news. It's like some sort of hideous 80s revival, isn't it? I mean, all we need is a sort of heartless Conservative Prime Minister attacking the unemployed and demonising the poor, and banks making obscene profits, David Bowie releasing a single. I mean, it's...
Do you know, that might be why I've got an unbelievable urge to get a perm. Up one morning and go, "Oh, I haven't had a perm in a while." Yeah. And you think, and you just forget the fact you haven't had one because of, you know, it was awful.
I used to go over to Northern Ireland a lot when I was doing stand-up in the 90s, and my wife would say, "Fred, see, when you're over Northern Ireland, do you mention the Troubles?" I said, "What?" She said, "Do you talk about the Troubles when you're on stage?" I said, "Listen, I think you'll find the people of Northern Ireland have got more to worry about than the lack of female orgasm in our house."
When you started that story, Fred, I thought you were going to talk about the time you'd had a perm, and I did want to hear that. Francesca.
I just thought they could handle the whole flag thing better because it was flying 365 days a year, and they cut it down to 8, which is rather drastic. I was thinking, you know, at least, like, ease them in a bit. Like, maybe they could just reduce the flag by an inch every day. Till it's the size of a postage stamp. No one can see it, but it is there.
We don't have this problem in Denmark. As long as the City Hall is flying one of Sarah Lund's jumpers, we're all happy. Loyalists have been protesting about the decision by Belfast City Council to only fly the Union Jack on special occasions, such as the Queen visiting the Shankill Road dressed up in a bowler hat and sash and banging a big drum. When the councils decided to fly the Union flag only on 18 designated days a year, a month of violent protests followed. It is a shame, isn't it? Quite spoils Belfast's usual reputation as an easygoing city with a laissez-faire attitude to religion and politics. 2 points to Susan. Fred, why is red tape the last thing to be cut?
There is a lot of red tape about.
2 points. Now...
I know this because I've been voting since I was eligible to vote in 19, a long time ago, and there have been a number of governments, about half a dozen or so, prime ministers, and each and every one of them has said that there's too much red tape. And I was thinking about it, if they've been trying to get rid of it since I was a boy, and there's still as much of it about as there ever was, then we need to go to the root of the problem and the people that come up with the red tape, and I think that's the government. So they've only themselves to blame, really.
Well, what is extraordinary is lots of government departments have now started internal consultations on cutting red tape. But that's like stopping a chip pan fire by burning down your house, isn't it? I mean, in 2011, David Cameron stated, "It's hard to believe we need government regulations on issues such as ice cream van jingles." Mm-hmm. And then in 2012, set up a public consultation on ice cream van jingles. They said they sought views from members of the public with an interest in chimes. Mike Oldfield and Mr. Whippy.
There was another one into scallops.
Scallops, yeah.
And nobody responded.
It's
scallops are an abomination, according to the Old Testament.
Are they?
In Leviticus, I think it's chapter 18, verse 22, it says, "That which hath no fins nor scales in the water shall be an abomination unto you." Which means it can only be a matter of time before we have our first scallop bishops in the Church of England.
You're saying, Jeremy, it's an abomination. I think you mean starter.
Jeremy, what? Can I ask you a serious question? Is that right? Because I'm going to go and tell people about that. And if that's one of your stories that you sometimes tell me, that I then go and tell everyone else and then I realise that you've just been making fun of me, I'm going to look like an idiot.
No, that one about me being a photographer, that was absolutely true. No, it's absolutely true. That which has no fins nor scales in the water shall be in a... I say that purely to put in context arguments against homosexuality, which always refer back to Leviticus, which ranks shellfish on the same level as a love of musical theatre.
One of the consultations, and this was the one I found most distressing, was about pigs. And it's whether or not they should monitor pigs electronically or with paper. And I just thought, why don't you leave the pigs alone? Why don't you let the pigs run free wherever they want without constantly being monitored all the time? Have you thought about the pigs in this at all? No one had thought about the pigs. And I want to know, Nick Clegg, what do you think about the pigs? I'm going to phone him and ask him what he thinks about the pigs. Let the pigs run free, Nick. Let them run free.
I think that's a rasher decision than they're prepared for.
Beautiful.
Despite promising to cut down on red tape, the government have spent millions of pounds of taxpayers' money asking public opinion on subjects as wide-ranging as ice cream van chimes and scallop fishing. The Times reported that 984 public consultations have been launched since David Cameron became Prime Minister. It would have been 985, but they had to scrap the one asking if anyone knew what Michael Gove was. MP Bernard Jenkins said, "It is staggering that the government should spend so much time and money and produce so few outcomes," thus confusing the word staggering with the expression tediously predictable. At the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Francesca have got 4 points, but so too have Susan and Fred. We start round two with an excerpt from the Daily Express.
"We recently adopted a Jack Russell called Buddy. He's very attached to me and becomes an emotional mess if I leave him, even for a few minutes. This does not happen with my wife."
And our thanks to Jane Appleton for sending us that. Jeremy, who's promised to take aim on the Second Amendment?
Well, this is the American right to bear arms. I quite like bear arms because you could hug people and then you could claw their back if they annoyed you. See, I don't want to stereotype Americans as being mental because, you know, without America, we would have no Willie Nelson, we'd have no Ramones, we'd have no Johnny Cash, we'd have no Bette Davis. And there are all sorts of intelligent, wonderful American people. But there's a large rural community, and as we know, rural people, a little bit odd. But rural people like guns, they're used to guns, they're comfortable. You see, us urban, soppy, effeminate people, we're scared of guns because they really only have one use, which is to maim and kill. See, there's this argument, if everyone had guns, nobody would use them because it's mutually assured destruction, basically. Everyone would just be a huge standoff thing. It's a difficult argument. It could work, it could be a nightmare. You know, in this country, we have an unarmed police force, but they don't seem to shoot a lot of people, don't they? Weirdly. But maybe that's because they're not routinely armed. You see, the ones outside Downing Street with machine guns, they didn't shoot Andrew Mitchell. I would if I was there. They didn't. They didn't. They might have made up a story, it might be true, but they didn't shoot him because they're used to machine guns. It's all about statistics. Piers Morgan had an argument with a man who shouted a lot, but you see, Piers Morgan was being disingenuous. He just kept trying to bombard him, saying, answer this question, this statistic, and statistics aren't necessarily causal. I mean, Italy has more organised crime. It's not because it has more pasta. There are historical reasons. Yes, we have less gun crime, but we have probably more stabbings. And Americans will say, well, you don't ban knives, do you? And we can say, well, you can't take your bread knife in the pub, but the bread knife has another use. You can't ban bread knives in the home because you need them to cut bread. In America, you don't, because they don't have bread that isn't already sliced, because Americans... Americans don't know how to slice bread. If you gave real bread to an American, they would shoot it into smaller into smaller pieces. And it's quite complex, and you shouldn't just be reflexive about the thing.
But guy who had a go at Piers Morgan, his name is Alex Jones, and when he said if the Americans didn't have guns, it would be 1776 all over again, and the Americans would have to defend themselves against the British. But you don't need guns to defend yourself against a British mob. You just need a sign that says, "Queue this way."
I mean... I misread it as Ali Jones. No. Wow, he's really changed.
It was quite a fascinating thing. If you haven't seen the video, the Alex Jones versus Piers Morgan, it erupted on Twitter, and it said Alex Jones attacks Piers Morgan. I thought, oh, thank God, the one show's finally got interesting. It's not Welsh Alex Jones who presents the one show, it was this American fella. And it's fascinating because Piers Morgan looks genuinely terrified. And Alex Jones has started a petition to deport Piers Morgan back here. And someone has started a petition to stop them deporting Piers Morgan. And has sent a petition to the government saying, no. We don't want him.
He does seem an odd cove, Alex Jones. He's made a number of films, including Are You Practicing Communism? The handy self-help video to make sure you're not a communist. So I just give you a hint. Unless you're accidentally collectivised farming, the answer is probably not.
Men get very macho around guns, though. It's kind of how I feel in B&Q. It's that level of excitement.
But some of the American argument doesn't make any sense. They keep saying that they must keep firearms because the Second Amendment can't be changed. And you just think, shall we look at the word amendment?
What about a Second Amendment amendment, then, as you say, Sandy? Yeah. All Americans should have the right to bear arms, but not all of them should have the right to bear children.
Barack Obama is considering taking a tough stance on gun control. Obama has given Vice President Joe Biden the job of drawing up new plans. In future, before you can buy an assault rifle, you'll be asked if you're really sure you need it. 2 points to Jeremy. Francesca, who thinks half our food is rubbish?
This is really shocking. Apparently, half the food produced in the West is wasted. And the primary reason is that it's not beautiful enough. You know, it's cosmetic. I'm like, how superficial would we become that even our food has to be perfect? Are we going to have Heat magazine, the fruit and veg edition? Have you seen the orange peel on that Jaffa?
So they're rejecting food on cosmetic grounds. So is there a gap in the market for vegetable makeup? I'm just thinking, it's like a Dragon's Den idea, isn't
People
it?
People want carrots with breasts, I think, basically.
Well, I think there's a market for Brazil nut wax, but anyway.
Don't I think we're a bit squeamish about mould on our food? We eat cheese with mould.
Yeah, but this isn't mould. This is just like a misshapen banana. And, you know, as a wobbly girl, I want to say, embrace the wobbly fruit. Eat it. Don't worry about a wrinkle on your prune. It's a prune.
I'm very squeamish. I mean, it depends. A lot of this is about the sell-by dates, in the fact that some people take sell-by dates as absolute fact and others take it as mere guidance. And I have to say, I have to keep a really close eye on my wife, because I'm very much a, that's the sell-by date, it's going out. Whereas she's very much a, if I throw it on the floor and it bounces back up, then we can probably still eat it. She doesn't throw anything out. And I had soup once. I said, it tastes rather interesting. It tastes like kind of paste. And it was potato peelings that she'd made into a soup. And I said, that's not really a soup, is it? That's potato peelings in water that you've managed to mush up a bit so that it's not quite as revolting. She went, oh, no, it's soup. And I said, it's not soup, is it at all? She went, no, I put a stock cube in it. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm living with Nigella Lawson.
Apparently, we're supposed to eat all the horrid bits of animals that we eschew. They're saying we need an offal revolution.
But in
France, they eat everything. I bought, you know those horrible, like, you go to a posh French deli and they sell those white sausages. Oh, I'll try that. Our continental neighbours seem to have got voting sorted out in a democratic way. Let's try their sausages. And I put this sausage in a pan and it heated to a certain point and then exploded. And it was as though the back of a washing machine had tipped out. It was just tubes. It's a sausage made of tubes, and they hadn't even minced it or put any herbs in it. No, no, that is a soppy English way to make your sausages by mincing up the offal. We just take the guts out of a reindeer and stuff it into a condom.
About half of the world's food, equivalent to 2 billion tonnes, is thrown away every year, according to a report by the Institute of Mechanical Engineers. The report blames poor farming practices, supermarket giveaways, and grandma talking about her medical problems at the dinner table. Up to 75% of vegetables grown in the UK aren't eaten, the greatest victory yet for the Vegetable Liberation Front. 2 points to Francesca. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings. The teams have brought along Mr. Hardy.
This was from the Alderney Animal Welfare Society. The Alderney Animal Welfare Society announced that they have produced a 2013 calendar. Each month shows a delightful photograph of a cat or kitten that has been cared for and rehomed, as well as a recipe on each page.
Ms. Martinez.
This is from Chris Long from the BBC website, Programme Information for Radio 4. It says, December 21st, 2012 is the date ancient Mayans believed would be the end of time. As the clock ticks down on the prophecy that spells the end of the world, perhaps this is the one programme you need to listen to. 1 year left to listen.
Mr. Kalman.
This is from Meredith Tunnicliffe, and it's from the BBC News website. A cat has been detained in the grounds of a jail in Brazil with contraband goods for prisoners strapped to its body with tape. A prison spokesperson was quoted by a local paper as saying, "It's tough to find out who's responsible for the action, as the cat doesn't speak."
Mr. McCauley.
This is an email that's been sent out by the gallery manager of an art gallery. "We have just received a number of different L.S. Lowry hand-signed limited editions, brackets, signed by him when he was still alive."
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Francesca have got 8 points, but this week's winners are Susan and Fred with 9. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Derbyshire Times sent in by Valerie Wilkinson.
Two thieves who stole £82 worth of sausages and meats by hiding it in their skirts were fined £185 each. The judge said, "I'm told this type of dress is normal for you, but it's not normal to stuff it full of chickens and meats. This was a joint offence."
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Francesca Martinez, Susan Kalman and Fred McCauley. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Susan Ray. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, John Hunter and Roderick Crooks, with additional material by Gabby Hutchinson-Crouch and Jack Bernhardt. The producer was Lindsay Fenner.